Egunon, egunon, sail ofizialeko Benito al Mundo filma ikusi berri dugu.
We have just seen the film Benito al Mundo, Twice Born, and let's film at the press conference. And this is the film Twice Born of the official section. For this, it's very important that the photographers please sit down and please don't use your flashes during the press conference. I thank you very much to stand up when you ask your questions, and that would be much better. And we have the director and scriptwriter Sergio Castellito, Margaret Mozzantini, the scriptwriter, Penelope Cruz, the actress, and the producers, Guillaume Marois and Roberto Sessa. And there's a question already. Please ask your questions. Go ahead. Hi, good morning. Penelope, welcome to the San Sebastian Film Festival, and welcome back to Spain. I want to ask you the following question. What's your relationship with Spanish cinema? Because you continue to come back to European cinema after demonstrating that you know Hollywood quite well off. And when are we going to see you in Spain, apart from the cameo that you did with Almodóvar? Well, I always say the same thing. I've never left. I've never... Oh, she's unplugged the microphone. Yes, there we go. Good. I said that I've never left Spain because I've had the good fortune of being able to do work here along with the work that I've been able to do abroad. And when I went to shoot my first film abroad, I went with my return ticket, and I've done it practically in the majority of the films that I've made in the United States. So if that has not changed up until now, my intention is the same, and even more so, to continue to work in my country as much as I can. Hi. Hi. Hi, I'm over here. Penelope, this film is a very risky film. The character is a very risky film. A character. Could you please tell us, what did you see in the character? Could you talk about the challenge, a specific challenge of this woman? Mr. Castellito physically treats you badly because you always appear in his films, well, as you appear. Could you tell us the experience of playing an elderly woman? What's that trip? Not in the makeup, but the internal or the interior trip or journey. Well, on both occasions, Sergio and Margaret have given me a gift of marvelous characters, very difficult characters. This is one of the most difficult characters that I've had in my hands to portray. It's a character that goes from 20 to 50 odd years of age. When the film starts, she's practically just stopped. She's going to become, she's on the way to becoming a woman, and when she finishes the film, she's a mother of an adolescent. She goes through all of those colors. Everything happens to her, just like the character in Italia. In Italy, the difficulty here, the added difficulty, the thing that frightened me the most were the differences in the ages. I've never had a character in which I've had to play that role. That to be able to play the same woman at 20 years of age and at 50 odd years of age, that the essence be the same at both ages, plus the difficulties of speaking the language, plus it's a character that emotionally demanded a lot of me, but that's a jewel for me, the truth be said. It's a gift to open the novel and to see the script and see that, once again, they're giving me that confidence and trust in me to put in my hands such a complex character. That's good luck, because these are the characters that we actors look for, but it doesn't depend upon us whether we get them or not. And I want to thank both of them very much, because the two films that we've done together have been very important for me at many different levels, not only professionally speaking. Hi, Roxana Vasquez from Argentina, from C5N. Penelope, and along the same line, what was it like to shoot in Bosnia and Sarajevo and those places, and plus how you're filming with Javier Bardem with Ridley Scott? How's that experience? It was very important for us to shoot in Sarajevo. they were received with their arms open. They shared a lot of the survivors of the war shared a lot of stories that helped us to understand a bit more. A war that was so complex and so difficult to understand, even for a Bosnian or a Serb or a Croat, you talk to them and they themselves say they don't at present even understand how things degenerated so far, so savagely. And it was very important for us to be there. We traveled there two times because we needed three different seasons, spring, summer, and then to go back in winter. And it was very important because each character takes along his own personal war, and Hema's is linked to what she lives in Sarajevo. And so much, from so much darkness, that desired sun emerges that brings about, comes into her life in the most unexpected manner. But that sun is the true man of her life because she loses all of her other loves throughout her life. The other question is the shooting with Ridley. Well, very well. That none of our scenes are together with Javier. I can't talk about the scenes with him because we don't have a single scene together. All of my scenes are with Michael Fassbender and Cameron Diaz, and it's a script which is a marvelous script by Cormac McCarthy, and that's what we're doing. We're still shooting it.
This is Christian, I'm afraid, also goes out to you, Penelope. How do you consider the impact that the financial crisis has got on the movie making in your country, and how do you consider the future of Spanish movies? And also, of course, the producers are welcome to answer this as well.
Okay, and can I answer in Spanish, or how do we do this? No. Sorry?
Yes.
Okay. Es un tema delicado.
It's a delicate issue, because when I'm asked this, I try to answer thinking that each citizen has the right to give his or her opinion, which is has more or less value. It has exactly the same value. So I have the same right to may have an opinion, but it's such a delicate issue where several times my words have been manipulated in the past, and it frightens me to talk about this issue, especially in the situation we're in, because it's quite a serious issue where a lot of people are suffering a lot. They're having a very tough time, a lot of people, and obviously I can't give you a real answer to see how things will be solved. I think more than ever, if you refer to the fact how that affects my profession, to the world of cinema, art and culture, I think that more than ever that we've got to get together, all of us, and to try to find some optimism somewhere, wherever, in order to continue to struggle and go ahead, because this affects a lot of people, not only the actors or directors. There are a lot of families who are behind all of these people. And what's happening, and they're going through an enormous difficulties that any person without any other profession through which there are millions and millions of people that are being suffering this economic crisis in our country. So it's a serious and difficult issue to address. A question for Mr. Castellito, for the director. I would like you to tell us what's the situation of Italian cinema now after Berlusconi's government, where it went through a really tough time, that is to say, Italian filmmaking. What's the situation of Italian cinema and filmmaking vis-a-vis the crisis, and what's your next project? Thank you. I've been doing this job now for almost 25 years. Is that okay? Yeah, you have translation? Good. In any case, you can understand Italian perfectly, I imagine. But I've been doing this work, as I was saying, for 25 years. It's my profession. And for the last 25 years, I've heard about the crisis of the Italian movie-making industry. It's quite obvious that we Italians, we manage only to do something good if we're not in a crisis. The crisis is not only a crisis for the cinema, or it's not only a Spanish or an Italian crisis. The crisis is a European crisis. Without Europe, we're not going absolutely anywhere. I think I have given the example of an important European film. This isn't a co-production, Italian and Spanish co-production. In fact, I thank my Spanish friends, the co-producers, Telecinco, Alberto Sesso Medusa, in Italy, because it's been a significant effort and responding to the issue of the crisis that was asked before. To make this film, which has been shot between Croatia, Bosnia and Italy, this is an example of European cinema, which tries to maintain quality, a high level of quality of the product, and in turn to tell a story that will remain in the memory of all of us. This is the story of the last great European war. When I started to document myself and research upon the film, I went to YouTube and I tried to find the first videos, and the first videos were all in Spanish, by the way, and it's quite obvious that the first journalists that were sent to that war perhaps were the Spanish and English journalists. This, as I said before, was the great war that we Europeans have looked the other way, because we're on holidays in Rimini or wherever or some other place. And in this great framework or frame, because this is an answer to how to overcome the crisis, we make films that tell stories, and we want them to be as universal as possible, and they should oppose themselves to American cinema that tells the same stories in a different way. As I say, within this large frame or framework of the war, the ex-Yugoslavia, we've got the war of this young woman who goes through a 25-year period in her life. And this is a way of overcoming the crisis, that is, to try to write stories and books that tell in the most universal way, manner, all of the different the plot in a universal way, and to not only look at their own navel or look at themselves and contemplate themselves, and to look abroad, that is to say. Penelope, beautiful, welcome. Apart from a few, jamón, everybody likes it, apart from maybe some Muslims, but apart from this, I would like to know, what difference is it to be an actor in the U.S. having an Hispanic or a Latin background? What's it like? In my case, I've always felt like an invited guest who was just going by there, and when I did my first film in the United States, I felt exactly the same as when I did my first film here with Vigas Luna. I thought it was the first and the last. I thought, well, great, they've invited me to participate in this, which has always been my big dream, but I imagined that was going to be the last film. But when I went to do a film to the U.S. for the first time, which was with Stephen Frears, who was a director who I've always admired very much, the same thing happened. I thought, well, okay, it was going to be a one-off chance. So I continue to feel like this, but as they continued to invite me, well, I spent some time there, I did my job, and then I've come back to Europe. And the difference, it depends upon each project and each director. It's not so much being there or being here. There are a lot of the films that I've made there have been films that are independent films with a small budget, and it's a more craftsmanship way of shooting a film, which reminds me a lot of how we do it here, and that's what I identify myself much more with when I perform. So therefore, I've done two or three super production, and I know how those films are shot as well, but it's not what I normally do. I have done this, and it's very interesting to do it, obviously to learn how they're made, because it's like an amusement park. But it doesn't drag me along as an actress, because it doesn't make you find the best characters sometimes in these super productions. Hi, Pe. Congratulations. I would like to know, what do you find in each other to work with these incredible, especially in Non te muovere, for example? I thought it was spectacular, and I like this role very much. And I would like to ask you about the project of Anita Delgado, to see what's going to happen with that Spanish film. Nothing is going to happen with this, because we spent a couple of years trying to make it until the family said, we don't want this film to be made, and that time I left the project. It doesn't enter into my plans to struggle against something that's going to bother someone, and even less so a family member or relatives. Why? To make a film? No, I don't think it's worthwhile. Even more so when you tell the story of people, some of them are not alive. Oh, So with all my respect to the decision of the family, that's why I left the project. And the other question of what we see in each other, well, since I met Sergio in Hotel Raphael in Paris, who I just read Margaret's novel, I was obsessed completely with the novel, with No Te Muevas, Don't Move. And I saw him, I admired his work as an actor. I thought he was a person who was very interesting. I liked so much how he talked about the character and how he wanted to make the film and shoot the film. And I had to convince him, because I didn't speak Italian in Don't Move, and I said, don't worry, I'll learn, I'll record it for you on a tape and I'll send it to you. And that's how it worked. That's how he gave me the character. What was it, many, many years ago now? But in that meeting, I didn't speak a single word of Italian, and I had to convince him. Penelope has what a director can't ask more of what you ask Penelope, because she's full of colors, and in turn she's white, so you can color her because she's white. She's got the ability and capacity to undertake all kinds of risks, and at the same time she's very ambitious when she plays her roles. She always portrays her roles. She always tries to obtain the maximum in what she does when she portrays her roles. So therefore, I think to work with her, and for me and Margaret, has been, as I said before, it's been much more a human adventure than a professional job. Penelope has portrayed this role 1 year after being pregnant and when she had her child, and this has been very significant for her. Margaret has 4 children, mine, and she's been able to write in a masterly way about a woman that can't have children. And it's this capacity of being able to tell what is contrary to oneself in the story, to tell the story of what you don't know or apparently you don't know anything about. That's where the talent really lies, which contributes something to this film, I believe.
From Greece.
Yes, that's the one. Yes. First of all, I would like to say a big thank you to Margaret for the wonderful things that she has put on the film. Margaret, I will use almost your words for my first question, except from the lovely scene that you've made, kind of explanation about what worries for you. I'm not going to give any more spoilers. There is one more scene that I really loved. When people are giving words to the other, that they are expressing what is really powerful for them. So I would like from each one of you to give me the word that is really powerful for you, and also the word that you really dislike. And the second question also for everybody, the title in English, it's Twice Born. So if you had the opportunity of getting reborn, what would you change in your life? Thank you so much.
Io volevo
dire. In italiano. Io sempre sapevo così. Ma friend, the word that Goiko says that thank you. I think that is for me, because thank you to all the people, to all that women and in italiano. Poi l'altra, so thank you. And also peace. That was the first title of the book, Peace. Then I changed it. And
che cosa, se nascessi la seconda volta, che cosa vorresti fare?
Ah, che cosa vorrei fare? Fabio, rispondo.
Ci pensa un attimo, poi te lo dice dopo. Mm-hmm.
Io penso che questa è la cosa che mi piace di questa questa cosa dei titoli.
The title, this film has several titles, and I think it's very interesting. In Italian, it's called Welcome to the World. Literally translate, it's called Welcome to the World. Or the vision of the issue of the different titles are different. It's called Bienvenido al Mundo, Volver a Nacer, the beautiful word in Russian. It drew his attention, that straight phrase. I like the Spanish, Volver a Nacer, to be reborn. Twice Born is another title, which is the title in English. And in this film, she's not not only the boy that we save a life, there are two mothers. There's the mother that stays on the island and the mother that stays on the boat. And this play on words on the different titles is one of the great issues of the film, because the film generates a lot of different reasonings and takes a lot of different directions at the same time. It goes different places. I would like to be born just like I've been born. Like now, I'd like to do the same thing that I've done, especially my four children. How has your recent maternity affected portraying the role and the character? Can you tell us about the measures the government have taken with cutting AIDS and increasing VAT for cinema tickets? Thank you. Well, my opinion is what we all think, and that is to say that it's bone-chilling, really, and it frightens you, all of these decisions that are being made. But I don't want to talk about cinema only. Only our profession. I think the issue is in general, the issue of education. It's like you want to pull your hair out, because without education, and we've got absolutely nothing. We haven't got a future. If the kids can't have access to education and studies, which is the synonym of freedom, without that there's nothing. I think that's the issue that concerns me about. Of all the decisions that are being made, I think that's one of the most serious points. But anyhow, but not to enter into this issue and to talk about this issue. Otherwise, I'd spend hours talking about this if you want to. I'd already connected with the character very much, and I believed that I understood it quite in depth. And I got into the project 3 or 4 years before the film was shot. And in those years, many things happened, and amongst them, I became a mother. And that's where I realized that we could understand the character at a different level, in a more deeper way, and to understand what that woman desires and wishes so much, and the life's not giving to her, because obviously a woman that doesn't want children can be very happy, obviously, undoubtedly. But a woman who wants children at the level that Gemma wants to, she lives through it like a void, as if it were a vacuum. It's something that she can never recover, and she struggles and fights so she can achieve it. And the son comes along in a most unexpected way, but she's completely obsessed with the idea of finding that son. In the moment in which the doctor tells her, you're never going to manage to have a child, you're a woman who's completely sterile. And that's where the war starts personally within her, that search for a son, which comes at the end of the day, who's Pietro. And Pietro, as you know, is the son of Sergio and Margaret. I think he played a marvelous role, and he is the light, shall we say, in this film. Hi, Penelope. Darien Schigman for Caiga Quien Caiga in Argentina. Oi, oi, oi. Nothing's happened yet. Not yet, not yet. We want to congratulate you for the film, and thank you very much to come to the festival and to be able to have you here before us. You won an Oscar for the film Vicky Cristina Barcelona, where we addressed the issue of sharing your husband with Scarlett Johansson. And the fact is, you were beautiful in the film, and I want to think I'm in love with you. I'd like to die with you, and I would like to ask you to get married to me in before all of these people and the international cameras, and perhaps we can be a happy threesome. What do you think? And how do I get out of this? Like saying yes or no to my... But I'm already married. In Argentina, there's not a problem. In Las Vegas, it's not a great value, but it's great effective value. And perhaps we can take a photo later if you like. Okay, start of getting married. Thank you.
Gracias.
Thank you. Next question, please. Penelope, congratulations for this marriage, this new marriage that you've just accepted. And what? This is a question for both of you. It's the same question. Let's see. Penelope could represent those actresses in Italian cinema that gave so much fame, like Sofia Loren, Silvana Mangano. If we carried out a newer version of Bitter Rice, I would see Penelope Cruz, if there's a scene in this film that reminds me, and I'm not to La Chochada, which was played by Sophia Loren, would Penelope Cruz be that inheritance to be able to relaunch Italian cinema with those great actresses that you've had in the past? To both of you. Penelope has inherited this for Italian cinema. She's perceived as an Italian actress, first of all, because she works in Italian and she does it magnificently. And she's the natural heir of these actresses that you've said before. It reminds this that she's got a bit of Claudia Cardinale in her and a bit of Salvana Mangano, Gina Lollobrigida, all of this world of very beautiful actresses and very poor. And this is very important for that great generation of actresses. They weren't actresses that were bourgeois at all. And this marks a big difference in the quality and the style of these actresses. Projects will come along, I'm sure. And we will say there's no two without three. There's no two without a third. I'm going to try to say this in Spanish because for me this has been the phrase that has directed me throughout the creation of the sentence. I said that life, correct me in Spanish, life is a hole which goes in another hole, and strange it may seem, it fills it up. Okay, for me this is what the film's about. For me, and this is love. Oh, love is a hole that we all have, and we try to fill up in one way or another. We try to fill it up. The film, what it wants to tell us is this: Gemma puts her hands in the horrible hole, which is the worst, that of pain, that of war, that of annihilation, and from that hole she manages to bring out a possibility, a light, a possibility that her son is called Pietro, and it's him. He is reborn, or born twice. From Catalonia, Penelope. Hi. I remember you wanted to dub yourself from Italian to Spanish because you thought it was quite easy. What's going to happen here with the dialogue in English and Italian? I say this because in Woody Allen's film, the dubbing, everyone speaks Spanish, the Americans, the Italians, and that defigures, shall we say, the vitality, the life of the film. What are you going to do this in Sergio, whether he had to do something with the dubbing of the Spanish version? No. I'm not going to dub myself because I haven't dubbed for a long time the films that I make abroad but I prefer it being seen in the original version. That's my opinion. And when you try to dub something like that, when plus there's so many different accents, it's very complicated. It's a very complicated and difficult decision. It was very difficult. For many years I was doubting it, and I did it in some films. I dubbed myself in some films, but finally I decided, no, I think the film is the film. That's the way it is. And there aren't two or three versions of the same film. The original version of the film, for me, is the film it is. Sergio, have you had anything to do with the dubbed version into Spanish? Have you supervised the dubbed version into Spanish? No. No, I completely agree with Penelope. The version is the film as it's portrayed in live, shall we say, by the different actors, by the cast. On the other hand, one of the great advantages of having Penelope is that she makes Italian and English believable in a very natural way, because for us it's very similar to the way we speak English and Italian. That's what the film is as it is, and I'm sorry to go about the same plot. This is what makes the film European in the most possible international way possible. Let us say there's a woman that leaves Italy, an Italian who speaks Italian with her son. She goes there and she finds Bosnians who don't speak Bosnian, but they speak English. They all speak English. When you don't understand the people that you meet, the people where you've got to dub films, and in Italy, the film has been dubbed because it's a completely dubbed version with other different voices, and I imagine in Spain the same thing will happen, but the film, I hope, in a majority of the audience can see it in the original version, because that's what makes it true. Dubbing will never achieve this. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.